1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Stay inside or mask up. That's what millions of Americans are being urged to do, with more than a dozen states facing air quality alerts. Here's CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
Unhealthy air extended to places like North Carolina, affecting millions of Americans.
For people who are higher risk, so that would include little children, the elderly, people who have chronic medical conditions.
In a flashback to the pandemic, many people decided to wear masks once again to play it safe.
I'm worried about the air quality. I'm worried about breathing in the particles.
Gary Hartman, a tourist from Chicago, is dealing with the bad air during his visit to Washington, D.C.
It's a serious issue. You can't exercise outside.
Experts say an indoor workout is best. You should also skip the yard work today. Keep your windows and fireplaces shut and run your air conditioning on a recirculation setting. An alert in Hawaii as the Kilauea volcano began erupting again, shooting lava as high as 200 feet into the air. Mayor Mitch Raw.
There's no real reason to worry. We're very safe. The eruption is not impacting any communities, but just be aware of the air quality. And if you're sensitive to those kinds of things, it may be a good idea to wear a mask.
Police in Richmond, Virginia, say a deadly shooting outside a graduation ceremony was a targeted attack, and the 19-year-old suspect had an ongoing dispute with one of the victims. An 18-year-old graduate, Sean Jackson, and his 36-year-old stepfather were killed. Dottrell Glover is Jackson's aunt.
Something that was so special and supposed to be a happy moment for all of us ended as a tragedy.
Supreme Court justices file annual financial disclosure reports, which include things like travel, gifts, investments, and more. Some interesting findings from the filing so far. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson reported a $1,200 congratulatory floral display from Oprah Winfrey and over $6,000 in clothing for a magazine photo shoot. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
These disclosures are sure to underwhelm many court watchers. For one thing, both Justices Thomas and Alito have asked for an extension, which means their filings won't arrive until after the end of the term. If there's any possible conflict of interest in any of the cases decided this year, it may go unnoticed.
Japan may soon allow same-sex marriages. A court's ruled that not allowing them was in a state of unconstitutionality. Recent polls showed there 70% of the public supports same-sex marriage, but the conservative ruling party opposes it. This is CBS News.
Hiring's a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
When you're rolling Charmin up to soft on the potty, this is most of roll it back.
Ultrasoft is irresistibly soft and more absorbent, so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Wisconsin Rapids' own Cranberry Blossom Festival is back with fun for the whole family. Join us June 15th through the 18th for family fun events including Cinema Under the Stars, live music, arts, crafts, raffles, and contests, a parade Sunday at noon followed by the Firefighters Duck Derby and the Wisconsin Rapids Aqua Skiers, carnival rides and attractions all 4 days. Mark your calendar Thursday, June 15th through Sunday, June 18th. You'll be very glad you did. For a complete event schedule, visit www.blossomfest.com or facebook.com/blossomfest.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly clear overnight with a low of 43. Northeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Lots of sunshine again. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 74. Lows dip down to about 47 tomorrow night. High of 80 Friday under mainly sunny skies. 81 Saturday, chance for scattered storms. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 52.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Mike Moan reports.
This spring, the Biden administration laid out specific strategies under the Global Fragility Act approved in 2019 with bipartisan support. It focuses on preventing some of the underlying drivers of conflict like genocide or ethnic violence. Felicity Gray of the group Nonviolent Peace Force says people are well informed about the direct impacts of the war in Ukraine, but other conflicts have their reach too.
Whether it's on the security front or whether it's how much you're paying to fill up your car. So by being really proactive about stabilization and conflict prevention, we can hopefully save a lot of money and a lot of heartache for communities around the world as well.
Foreign policy experts say this should allow the U.S. to be less reactive.
Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Summer days don't get much better than this. A high-pressure system is slowly sliding over Wisconsin today, which cleared the clouds and is making way for a bright and beautiful day. Temperatures will range hotter to the west and cooler by the lakes. Highs will be flirting with the 80s by the Mississippi Valley, and with winds off the Great Lakes, towns near Lake Michigan will only hit highs in the upper 60s, and it will be even cooler along the shores of Lake Superior with highs in the upper 50s. Tonight, clear skies will allow temperatures to drop chilly to the upper 30s and low 40s in the Northwoods and hover into the low 50s for the rest of the state, giving most of us a perfect night to open those windows. What do you say we just put this picture-perfect day on repeat for tomorrow, eh? Have a wonderful Wednesday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers win a thriller in extra innings. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bottom of the 10th, two outs, Milwaukee's Joey Weimer at the plate.
Down the left field line! It's over! Joey Weimer with two strikes wins it in the 10th. Another game winner for the crew.
Jeff Levering on Bally Sports. The final 4-3 in favor of the Brewers over the Orioles. Bryce Turang, key RBI in the 8th to tie it up. Weimer with his first walk-off game-winning hit off of Yennier Cano in the 10th. Craig Counsell.
You know, two big hits. You know, Cano's, he's been lights out this year. So that was, to score against him. Not many people have scored. I'd probably give him three runs this year. So to push a run across him and Bryce to have a good at-bat and a huge hit, obviously really impactful. And then Joey picked us up, you know, with a big hit in the 10th.
The two teams meet again tonight at AmFam Field. NFL, Packers OTAs in Green Bay. Jordan Love on throwing an interception during a game simulation in the final 2 minutes says, well, now is the time to try things out.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, this is a time to kind of push those boundaries, try things, and kind of just see and learn. Great play by him. Good to go back, watch it on film, see when I could have maybe got the ball out sooner. I think I had an option right there on the sideline. You know, it's a learning situation, maybe hit him, get out of bounds, get some yards, and be able to finish that two-minute drive maybe with a score. So it's all learning right now. This is a great time to be able to, you know, kind of push those boundaries.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I think it's a great learning experience, and you'd rather have that happen in practice than out in a game. And certainly there's going to be those moments, but it is for every quarterback. And it's certainly, I think, when you talk about the situation, you're talking about a two-minute end of game, no timeouts. Sometimes you're a little bit more aggressive, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And so I think you just have to go through those experiences and try to learn from them and get better from them, both when they're good and obviously when they're bad.
More practices today in Green Bay. NBA, the Bucks introducing their new head coach, Adrian Griffin. The Bucks GM, John Horst, was impressed how Griffin analyzed and broke down game tape during the interview process.
His passion and his energy when it comes to coaching is evident. You can just, the rhythm in which he answered your question, like, that's who he is. This guy's a basketball coach.
John, Adrian, WRJN Radio and Civic Media. So the next step is the staff around him. What have you envisioned, Adrian, about what it takes to be, you know, your assistant and the guys around you as you build this program?
Mike, well, I think I touched on it, just the three C's that I'm looking for, the high character guys, highly competent, and being creative, thinking a little bit out of the box. The smart thing is to do is to surround myself with coaches who complement my leadership style.
The 48-year-old Griffin becomes the 17th head coach in franchise history. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
At Lakin Care, we build better lives. Located right here in northeastern Wisconsin, our staff lives and works in the areas we serve. Offering public and private care management options, we have a strong track record of success in helping members of our community live their happiest, healthiest, and most independent lives. Beyond care management, we now offer consulting, coaching, and training for individuals and organizations. Where you need us, when you need us, we're on your team. Visit LakelandCareINC.com to learn more.
Weather brought to you by Taqueria Miyagi, Waukesha's authentic Mexican food truck, which is now open and ready to serve you. Find us at 1610 Lincoln Avenue in the BP gas station parking lot or call us at 262-278-6590.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Temperatures reach up to 75 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight. Lows level off around 46. 74 tomorrow. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Upper 70s Friday and Saturday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 68
Does
degrees.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options from...
Welcome all. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. Here, you are the star, you are the talent, and you will be driving the talking points of the day. I'm William Walter. You might remember me from Wednesdays with Will. I am the Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer at Our Wisconsin Revolution, and I am so excited to be with you today. Be with you today on this lovely Wednesday afternoon. I'm joined by Luke Mathers. Luke, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Will. Geez, that's a hard one to say on a Wednesday.
Say that three times.
Yeah,
fast.
You got a tongue twister there. It's a glorious Wednesday here in the state of Wisconsin. We're having a fun time. We are going to dive into the phone calls and the questions for those phone callers.
We got Aaron on the board today, too. Aaron, how are you?
Doing pretty well. Starting to get into the groove of the new schedule.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit of an adjustment, but we're here for it. We're ready to go. We love that midday afternoon roundtable discussion. So, question I want to pose today is on school board, school districts in the state of Wisconsin. What are we going to allow school districts to do from a free speech perspective? Reading from an article at JS Online, Arrowhead is considering banning signs promoting safe spaces and other things that create diversion. The proposal would prohibit, quote, flags of any kind, unquote, with the exception of the American flag, the Wisconsin state flag, and flags specific to a foreign language being taught in the room. It would also forbid, quote, race dividing, unquote, signs such as Black Lives Matter or anything denoting one specific race, as well as anti-racist classroom notations, rainbows, or any signage of any type promoting a sexual or gender preference, political signage promoting one party or candidate over another. Now, this policy does not include student attire or student-owned items or vehicles, as long as the clothing does not conflict with the school's dress code under the proposal. Now, we have been discussing quite a bit over the past few months First Amendment-protected freedom of speech. Where do we draw the lines within school districts? I want to hear your thoughts. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. If you would like to contribute to the conversation, I have Dan from Cedarburg on the line right now. Dan, what do you think about this new proposal from Arrowhead?
Thanks for having me on. I think this Arrowhead situation, we've seen other school districts, especially here in Southeast Wisconsin, engaging in similar conduct to try to chill students' free speech. And I think it's part of a broader assault that we're seeing, not just locally, but across the country on our children's ability to have the freedom to think, the freedom to speak, and also the freedom to be who they are. I think local control is desirable where that is possible, but in situations like this where you have a policy that apparently seems quite overly broad and also may allow for, since you mentioned the garb, what I'm thinking of specifically is, so if a kid came in with a anti-Joe Biden or pro-Donald Trump t-shirt, that would be permissible, but we're not going to allow students to show, to have a flag or some other kind of insignia.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans. Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
Weather brought to you by Freshfin, bringing you a fresh and healthy fast casual experience. Seafood, chicken, pork, or tofu, the bowl options at Freshfin are endless. Check them out at the corners of Brookfield, Bayshore Mall, East Side, and Third Ward, or online at freshfin.com.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows around 45 overnight, under clear skies. Winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly sunny tomorrow, highs around 75. Lows dip down to about 47 tomorrow night, clear skies. Sunny skies Friday with daytime highs approaching 80. 84, chance for scattered thunderstorms Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Cruz on 540 AM WAUK.
On students, but it also has an effect on educators being willing to teach in these districts. I mean, if this district is entertaining something like this, dealing with students, I don't think it's a stretch to imagine that similar policies will be created to try to control and dictate what educators are doing in the classroom, and that will create further issues and limit our children's ability to have the freedom to learn in the classroom.
I think another interesting note is that, as the article points out, specifying safe zones for some and signs promoting one group over others, quote, can create a feeling of isolation, division, and estrangement, unquote, the proposal says. Now, that to me just reads as, I hate to say it, but that's the same narrative we're seeing at the national level with a lot of the culture war driven issues that certain conservative elected officials are trying to drive. They are saying that, you know, at one point they say college campuses are safe spaces for snowflakes to come and live in an echo chamber where they don't have to be challenged ideologically by anything that disagrees with them because they're so uncomfortable with a differing opinion. But then at the same point, they're now trying to use that same type of language that they accuse college students on the left of doing within our own high schools. So they're doing the exact same thing, but trying to reach the students even younger and younger. Is this just projection, or am I misreading this situation?
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of just safe spaces from safe spaces is what's needed, I guess. Because it's a weird mindset to say that by putting a sign on a because really this doesn't, it doesn't come down to a whole lot of free speech for students. It feels like it comes down to free speech for teachers. For teachers to be able to say this classroom is a safe space if you need it. If they go even as far as saying that, according to this proposal, that would be banned. And so for a teacher to be able to say that this is a safe space and somebody to come forward and say, well, that indicates that there's other not safe spaces around the high school and that these administrators are not going and saying, well, maybe why was this safe space needed? Maybe there are not safe spaces for different demographic groups in the high school, and this teacher had to go out of their way to indicate to their students that this is a safe space. Wouldn't you want to go find out why that safe space was necessary rather than saying, well, we're going to ban all safe spaces because that would indicate that there are other non-safe spaces? No?
Dan, what do you think about
I absolutely agree with that. You know, it's So many conversations I've had with students throughout the, throughout Southeast Wisconsin through my community organizing. Students are absolutely need these safe spaces because of conduct that they're both witnessing and, frankly, in a lot of cases, experiencing at the hands of other students. And I think, you know, there's a lot of room to grow. And there needs to be a larger conversation, I think, not just in our local communities, but in the state about the treatment of LGBTQ students, of students of color, and especially in a lot of the communities. I mean, I live in a suburban community, so these issues are very prevalent out here, but it's not just limited to our suburban areas, but this happens all across the state. And districts are legally supposed to be looking into this, but I think also morally and ethically it should be talking to these students and doing a much better job of making sure that everyone feels welcome and that they're able to thrive in the educational environment that they're in.
Thanks, Dan. Dan, stick around for a little bit. We got a few more questions for you. This is Town Call with William Walter and Luke Mathers. If you'd like to contribute to the conversation, where do we draw the line for free speech in public schools? Please give us a call, 844-967-2789. I want to touch on, Dan, something that Luke just mentioned that I didn't even consider when I was reading the article is, and I think, Luke, that was a very brilliant point, is it specifically appears that these type of policies are targeting teachers in the sense that I have seen on social media, I have seen on Fox News broadcasts, they will go after the stereotypical teacher who might have, we accept everyone in this classroom type flags. Those are where they draw the line because they don't want this teacher to be essentially advertising that the rest of our school is uncomfortable. It makes the rest of our school look bad. It paints the district in a poor light that we have some areas in the school that's unacceptable. Do you think this might be contributing to some of the massive teacher shortages we're seeing in southeastern Wisconsin?
Absolutely. It's part of a larger, between that and policies that are being enacted to, I don't even say critically analyze curriculum and textbooks, but to basically intimidate teachers in the teaching things, especially social studies and history, in a way that is acceptable and to a certain audience, but isn't necessarily the real history of our country. It's absolutely making it harder for us to retain teachers. And I think it, in a broader sense, it's part of a larger problem that we've had in the state, not just over the last couple of years, but I mean, this has been ongoing for a decade now, where people are refusing to go into the education profession partly because of the culture in which educators are treated. And stuff like this just exacerbates that. And I think, you know, we have to really look at why it is that we're failing to attract and retain our best educators and educational staff. It absolutely is a reason, having talked to educators out there through my work, it absolutely is a reason why educators are leaving for other districts or moving out of state in some cases.
Mm-hmm. And I think I'd like to note as well that the article notes the rationale for this policy, according to Arrowhead School Board Vice President Chris Ferris, was to create an environment that is an opportunity that is available similar for all students. I know it can't be exactly the same, but that there's no preference being shown to any one group or race or ethnicity or gender. It's really all about transparency with families. That's really where our focus is globally. I feel like this falls into those parameters. Sounds like a cop-out. It sounds like he's capitulating to a couple of frustrated, upset, maybe more aggressive parents who are following the culture war issues at the national level and don't want that stuff brought into their classroom. So rather than protecting the students of his district, he is just going to protect a small handful of overly loud and otherwise disinterested parents. So we're going to be right back after the break. This is Town Call with William and Luke. We're talking where the First Amendment is allowed in public schools. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'll see you right after the break.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring, courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting MakeTheConnection.net.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly clear overnight with a low of 43. Northeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Lots of sunshine again. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 74. Lows dip down to about 47 tomorrow night. High of 80 Friday under mainly sunny skies. 81 Saturday, chance for scattered storms. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 52.
Been fraud and the election should be overturned. You did that. You took 120 grand in pay from the Republican Party, not in a donation, pay. The most recent payment was in December, and we don't know if you're still being paid. And you've been endorsed by some of the biggest election deniers in the state. And you're shying to me with, I don't know how I'd rule. I know how you'd rule. I know how you'd rule.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome one, welcome all. We are back with Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star. This is William Walter, joined by Luke Mathers, and today we're talking freedom of speech in public schools. Where do we draw the line? What is and is not acceptable? Continuing the conversation we had before the break, this is not the first district, referring, of course, to Arrowhead, that has implemented a policy of this kind. In 2021, the Waukesha School District banned Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, Thin Blue Line, anti-racist, and other posters and materials from district classrooms under its policy on controversial issues in classrooms. And the Kettle Moraine School District added a ban on political and religious messaging, including pride flags, in July of 2022. It also banned pronouns, ironic for a school that would be teaching how to put sentences together properly, political language and religious views from staff emails and signatures. I have Dan on the line from Cedarburg. Dan, I know that you're in the area, obviously, southeastern Wisconsin. Is this something that you have witnessed in the schools in your community that might or may similar type of policies being implemented but hasn't received the same kind of coverage?
Absolutely. Some people, some of your listeners might be familiar. Cedarburg actually went through a similar issue with this about 2 years ago. Back in the summer of 2021, our school district, the school board leadership had essentially changed through the appointment process. And one of their first actions that summer in a closed session was to have a Love is Universal mural that was painted by the students at the Webster Middle School destroyed. And subsequently, I've heard from folks in the district that of like the difficulties with students feeling like they can freely express themselves, especially LGBTQ students. I also know that there was an instance of a teacher being questioned about having a Love is Universal mural mug in their classroom to potentially indicate that, hey, this might be a safe place for somebody to approach. But I mean, even past the safe place part of this, like, you would think that these kinds of items would be used as a point of discussion about what's actually happening. You know, when I was younger, one of the most captivating classes I had in my K through 12 was through a teacher using real examples and real things that were being discussed and going on in the world at that time to reflect on the material that we were going through. And I think we're really losing out on having these kinds of discussions and getting students to think critically and put themselves in somebody else's shoes when we're like, well, we can't talk about this or like these particular kinds of issues, because I mean, this is very prominent and it's becoming an even bigger issue because of what not just school districts are doing, but what states are doing to try to affect how our students can learn in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. You're teaching conformity rather than critical thought, which is really hampering someone's ability to flourish. We have Andrea from Menominee Falls also on the line. Andrea, there's something you'd like to contribute?
Yeah, I think what comes to mind immediately when I think about getting teachers in trouble for talking about things as simple as sexuality, religion, I think looking at what the goal of this is to, and I think it was said earlier before I came on, that it's a method to scare them into a position where they have to choose between being able to support themselves economically, keeping their jobs, paying off student loans, and having to choose between keeping their job versus sticking to their morals and providing a quality education to students. And I think it's really important that we look at what they're trying to do. And then, you know, I think taking it a step further, the other side of this is they like to, the goal, the people that want to push for these bans on books and ban free speech, they want to scare children into being in the same position where, you know, we don't talk about religion, we don't talk about sexuality. It's this taboo topic. And I think it's just another method to keep people quiet, keep people afraid, and just continue this cycle so that we dumb things down in a way that people can't develop into flourishing human beings with different ideas.
Forced compliance. That's a brilliant point, Andrea. I couldn't agree with that more. When the wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know, pressure that is being put on these teachers by administrators that, you know, boy, it would be a problem. It'd be a big bummer if you lost your job and couldn't afford to pay your rent. Guess you better do what we have to say. Wink. Like, what kind of a message are you sending to your students that you either do what we say or you're unable to, you know, advance in your career, you're unable to provide for your family? If you have anything you'd like to contribute to the show, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. We're talking First Amendment free speech in public schools. Where do we draw the line? The examples that we've been using is in reference to Arrowhead considering banning signs promoting safe spaces and other things that could create diversion. But Dan and Andrea, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this as well. An article from the AP posted this morning, Wisconsin's GOP-led legislature to block meningitis vaccine requirement for students. The Republican-controlled Wisconsin legislature plans to take the final step needed to stop Democratic Governor Tony Evers' administration from requiring seventh graders be vaccinated against meningitis. It appears school districts are now taking that next step past free speech into medical requirements, something that has been required for years. If you want to be at a public school, you have to be vaccinated against meningitis. And now the Republican-controlled legislature seems to be going a different route. Andrea, do you have any thoughts on this?
Oh, the first thing that comes to mind is I don't think people understand that, although, yes, there's an inherent risk with any medical procedure, yes, and those are disclosed when you are going through that medical procedure, such as a vaccine. This information can be accessed easily online through reputable resources such as the CDC website. What people don't consider is the long-term effects and treatments and therapy and potential for other complications, especially at such an impressionable age as you know, being in seventh grade. And I really encourage people to think about what comes with contracting meningitis, because it's not just a quick antibiotic and back to school. It's a really, really laborious process to get back on your feet.
Mm-hmm. Meningitis is an infection of the brain and spinal cord that can also cause blood infections. It can be deadly or cause lifelong disability, though rates of the disease have declined exponentially in the United States since the 1990s and remain very low both in Wisconsin and across the country, according to the CDC, which is likely due to the vaccines for both meningitis and chickenpox being widely used and being proven to be safe and effective. If you'd like to be like Dan or Andrea and contribute to the show today, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. Dan, what are your thoughts on the potential GOP-led legislature's effort to block meningitis vaccine requirements for students?
Well, it on the surface seems nonsensical. I mean, these mandates exist. I mean, we should be listening to public health officials and medical experts first and foremost when it comes to these kinds of decisions. These vaccines have been very helpful in preventing serious illness. I mean, as was just referenced a little while ago, meningitis not only can be very serious and cause death while you have it, but it can cause serious long-term health consequences as well. And it's particularly prevalent, it seems, I'm not sure I know that's for a fact, but it seems like it is more common in younger people when you hear about these outbreaks. Like, I remember back in the day hearing about these at college campuses, for example. We should be focused on trying to prevent, like, these are preventable diseases. And if these vaccines help students from contracting things that may cause endanger them in the short term and also potentially cause long-term issues if they were to contract that illness. I mean, it seems like common sense that you would mandate that. I mean, I understand that there may be some vaccines that the, risk reward of mandating it may not be as significant or needed, but this just seems like a bizarre act from the legislature. Have they given an explanation as to why they're entertaining doing this?
I am not seeing one. My guess would be that it is perhaps, as you just noted with other vaccine requirements, perhaps it's a proxy war for another hotly debated vaccine discussion that we are seeing at the national level right now. Do you know of any other viruses that we're seeing have potential long-term side effects even after contracting it, debilitating issues potentially years and years into the future? Now, that vaccine has not been studied nearly as much as meningitis, which has been used for years and years and years. So that is the argument I think that those opposed to mandating the vaccine would make. However, again, meningitis has been available for years, has been required for years. This has been studied extensively. What are the two of your thoughts on potentially if this might be expanding the debate that they want to have on vaccine requirements as a whole, and are just using meningitis as kind of a shield to not have to refer to the current pandemic, which is of course still COVID?
Well, I'll say I think that the idea is you don't really hear of a whole lot of people getting meningitis, measles, mumps, rubella. Obviously, that's because it's been long eradicated. You see a couple cases of measles here and there a little bit more commonly because people are increasingly refusing vaccines. But I think it's a really convenient vaccine to use to say, well, if we eradicate this one or if we inspire people to not get this vaccine, take away the legal requirements, and nobody gets it because it's long been gone, we can say, well, this isn't necessary. They're just trying to turn you all into sheep. They're just trying to force you all to do something you don't need to do. So just to reiterate, I think it's just a really convenient vaccine to use.
They're scapegoating meningitis. Well, if it's not a problem now, why do we have to get vaccinated against it? Ignoring, of course, the fact that it's not a problem now because virtually everyone has been vaccinated against it. Dan, do you have any thoughts on that?
I think it's clear that this seems to be an effort to pander to people who are anti-vax. We've seen a very significant strain of anti-vax politicians on the Republican side. First and foremost are U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. I'd be very curious to know what his position is on this. And maybe he has something to do with talking to a legislator about doing something like this. But I think we should be encouraging our students to get vaccinated for preventable diseases. I mean, that's how we eradicated smallpox, which killed millions and millions of people throughout human history. And by the way, thank God we still have that vaccine around just in case it ever leaks out of a lab and is used as a bioweapon, because that's a potential risk. Like, vaccinating people from diseases can help prevent the spread of these diseases, which makes us all safer and healthier. It absolutely seems like an effort by some MAGA politicians here to use this particular vaccine to push an anti-vax position generally. And that's very dangerous because we're seeing this in other diseases where parents aren't getting their kids vaccinated anymore. We're seeing diseases like measles come back. And it's so unfortunate, particularly because these children, especially at a young age, may not have, like, they don't have the choice to do this on their own, and their parents are putting them at risk because of disinformation that's been put out there about vaccine efficacy.
It's interesting, Dan, that you noted smallpox, because the legislature's vote would also make it easier for parents to get an exemption from the chickenpox vaccine requirement that is currently in place for all K-6 students. The Evers administration wanted to require parents seeking a chickenpox vaccination exemption to provide proof that the child has previously been infected. The Advisory Council on Immunization Practices, who advised the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, has recommended students get vaccinated against meningitis since 2005. However, parents recently complained at a public hearing that the proposed requirements violated their liberties. Perhaps that has something to do with this recent decision. So we'll be right back after the break, continuing on the conversation with free speech and requirements in public schools. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'll see you right after the break.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WA.
It's time you checked out Champions Pub on Milwaukee's East Side, a classic Milwaukee tavern since 1956. Champions is a comfortable place to gather and enjoy a drink over a game of shuffleboard, cribbage, bags, golden tea, or just relax in its sunny beer garden or covered deck. Champions Pub has something for everyone. It's a great place to escape the usual bar crowds and hide out for drinks and conversation. Stop by Champions Pub and enjoy its good service and low-key neighborhood atmosphere.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trygve Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly sunny skies and calm today with a high of 75. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 47. Lots of sunshine outside again. Tomorrow, highs around 80. Mid-80s Saturday with a chance for scattered storms. Much cooler Sunday with highs in the upper 60s and showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
Welcome one, welcome all. Welcome back to Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will be driving the conversation of today's headlines. I'm William Walter with Luke Mathers, and today we are talking freedom of speech in public schools. Where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line for required vaccinations in public schools? We're just talking public schools in general. And Luke, you made an interesting comparison over the break to another story that we saw come out within the past 6 months that seems eerily reminiscent of this, you know, local control aspect that we're seeing from these two stories we highlighted today.
Just within the last couple of weeks, not even months, Will.
Good point.
Pretty recent story over at the Journal Sentinel getting updated. I think originally published on the 17th of May and updated for the 25th of May. But talking about local control, force compliance, a lot of these different topics discussed throughout the hour here. The headline over at the Journal Sentinel is the Wisconsin teacher who spoke out about Rainbowland ban says she's being fired. So this was the first grade teacher in the Waukesha School District that was let go. She was recommended to be fired by the district, by the superintendent of the district. And I'm sure listeners have heard many different portions of this incident that happened in Waukesha. It got picked up by late night television shows on cable networks discussing how a first grade teacher was first put on leave and then ultimately fired for speaking out against her students wanting to sing Rainbowland. That was a step too far. And so the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underley, got involved in this, saying to the school board, this is not a good action. And then the response back by several different state lawmakers at the representing the Waukesha area said, well, Dr. Underley, it's wrong for you to even send a letter saying that this is a wrong action because this is local control, and applauded the school board for firing the first grade teacher for speaking out against the ban. And so there's many different layers here, Will, but it's strange where the local control argument gets thrown around, and you see it get played in different ways.
As you know, Luke, I love to give credit where credit is due, and that sounds suspiciously similar to a point Andrea made earlier on the show today. Andrea, this is a direct example of what you were saying, where the administration is essentially threatening the teacher's economic viability by saying either do what we say or you will be gone.
Exactly. And I think that they took the opportunity to make an example out of that teacher. It's really unfortunate because kind of sounds like that teacher was just advocating for her students and I think even didn't Dolly Parton comment and say, and Miley Cyrus, and they said it's not even about being gay, it's just about acceptance.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point you made. They're trying to let other teachers know, hey, this will be you if you do what she did. We are not afraid to go this far. We will fire you, particularly because it made national headlines. Now that I'm sure they were receiving angry letters, being called constantly by a certain subset of parents who, you know, vehemently disagree with protecting our students in our schools. Dan, do you have any thoughts on the situation in Waukesha?
We saw something similar happen in Florida a couple weeks ago as well, since the passing of the Don't Say Gay law. And it's part of the larger problem that we're seeing throughout the country in the treatment of educators. And it's, I think, the encouraging thing to me is that if there's a silver lining that can come out of this, it's that it's bringing attention to just how out of the mainstream members of these school boards and these institutions are when things like this happen. There was that media attention helped bring attention of the citizens of the Waukesha School District to that particular issue. And I'm trying to recall back to April. Are we aware of how that school board election had gone in terms of which members were elected or... because I'd be curious to know if that had an effect on the school board election in Waukesha this past April. But even if it didn't in the immediate term, I think it's bringing attention of parents and the community as a whole to these problems, because it makes our communities look bad. It's violating people's freedoms and rights. And we're losing our best educators and staff. And every time a school district loses a teacher or another educational staff like a para, they cost the district more money to replace that person too. So it's like it's costing taxpayers money in the long run. And we already have difficulty attracting and retaining educators, as I referenced before. And things like this are just meant to intimidate people out of the education profession. I think our... frankly, in perhaps the thinking of some of the folks that are behind creating policies like this, to try to intimidate people, parents into sending their kids to public schools. They're trying to undermine public education as a whole. And given that we're seeing a big push towards voucher schools and private schools, I think that's certainly got to be part of the game here, especially when it comes to state lawmakers who do not support public education. They want to see public education basically destroyed and for people to send their kids to schools that for lack of a better word, indoctrinate kids into having a worldview that is not based in reality.
Good point, Dan. So I actually did just look up the Waukesha School Board results from the 2023 spring election. Four candidates were on the ballot. Three of them were elected, and the one who did not was Corey Andrew Montejo, who was the incumbent. So if that answers your question, the incumbent was defeated. However, Diane Voigt, who was a former school board member, losing her seat in the 2021 spring elections, was second. So she did re-earn her seat back onto the Waukesha School Board. So like you said, these issues are pervasive throughout the entirety of southeastern Wisconsin. This is not one district where we're seeing this. This is not one school where we're seeing this. We are seeing this. These issues are growing throughout the vast majority of districts in the state of Wisconsin. And we as parents, we as citizens, we as people in the state of Wisconsin, we need to be standing up and saying this is what we expect from our public schools. This is all of our tax dollars going to fund these schools. I like how you noted the attempt to potentially defund public schools as part of this argument. Perhaps that is the avenue they are taking, trying to point out, look, how ineffective our public schools are. Why would you bother sending your children there? They clearly can't handle all the pressure. We need to have them involved in these voucher school programs. But that's a conversation for a different day. This is Town Hall, where you are the star. You will drive the narrative of the day. We want to hear from you. We've been talking public schools, First Amendment protected speech. Where do we draw the line? Thank you for joining us today, Dan and Andrea. please give us a call if you want to participate in the coming days, 844-967-2789. This is Town Call with William Walter and Luke Mathers. Have a great rest of your day.
Talk to y'all later.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.